So, Peter, I considered you my right-hand man for a long time when we were creating our own strand of new work with Orrit.
Mm.
And I think that was a... Well, you did a creative collaboration with us for Immortal and Taboo, and then moved over to do the outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
So, should we talk about that?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Go on, then.
What there was in that whole project was a trust. There was a trust of, almost like a trust that we trusted Orrit to be able to take all our intuitive responses and put them together into a whole. She trusted, I would say yes. And sometimes I'd just say, no, that's not going to work. You need to trust this. And she would. So there was this underlying sense of, there was an underlying kind of willingness to almost collaborate on a kind of almost unconscious level, as opposed to it was just a different way of managing people and a different way of directing a show. I think that's what it was. And
well, I think your music's been really, really important in like developing the... I can't imagine any of those shows that we did together being the same without that music. As well, you've described it as the engine that drives the performance. So
yeah,
that's kind of the sort of stuff I'd like to hear about. What do you think the music does for the circus, and what makes you the, you know, you've got loads of experience of making music for live performance as opposed to a musician that goes and makes music with a band for some other reason. So that's the stuff that I think is really interesting to hear.
So you've got a couple of different things. If you've got a band who are playing, then the music drives the band. It's they are expressing a kind of common denominator. This is the band. Here we are. Here's our lead singer. We play. As soon as you move into theatre, let's say you move into spoken word theatre or spoken theatre, the first question is, why do you have music when it's a literary art form? As soon as you have circus, everything about circus is music led.
Because people aren't using so much text, it's more physical language.
But what you've got a physical language, which is just a body doing something. It's doing somersaults, so it's doing leaps. You've got a, let's say, scenographic language, which is your room, your tent, or your open space. You've got your narrative language, which is the dramaturgy of the event. And circus is not about story. Circus is about acts. And then contemporary circus has gone, well, let's try and marry narrative or story to act, an act-based...
Or just even to conceptualize it or contextualize it into some other...
So your traditional circus is here, and now, ladies and gentlemen, here's our structure. So there is a narrative, but it's a narrative of structure as opposed to a narrative of story. Then, over the last 20 years, there's been massive explorations in themes. So circus, the contemporary circus, lends itself very much to thematic narrative. The music is always going, you know, you have a room, if you put music in, if you play a piece of music, it's going to affect how we read the room. It's going to affect how we read the physicality. It's going to affect how we read the narrative, the pace with which we read the narrative. So I think what music has been used for a lot is to define the dramaturgy in a show. And I think the music has to do two things. It has to, one, make sense with whoever the performer is, like physically make sense with the performer, and somehow support
what they're doing,
their presence, their aura, their tension. I think it has to absolutely be chosen incredibly carefully to push the dramaturgy forward and make the room work for the performer. I think.
Why did you choose to make music for circus as opposed to music for any other reason? What was interesting about working?
Initially, circus was just a word, which meant circus is just a word. Word for breaking rules. A word for being as ugly and as beautiful as you possibly can. A word for making a huge amount of noise and then making even more noise and then making no noise.
Because you actually had a band that was called a circus before you were involved in circus, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, it was Circus Bizarre Orchestra. And the rule, let's say the rule of the game was we were 12 musicians and we would have very simple pieces. And I would say, let's see how noisy we can make it. Let's see how unbearable we can make it. Let's see how many times we can repeat this until the audience just leave. Let's see how beautiful we can make it. Let's see how ugly we can make it. Let's have a structure and then destroy the structure. So that's what the music was about. It was about exploring shapes and structures and then destroying them. And then bringing it back together again. And we just did that again and again and again.
So how did that influence your work that when you actually started playing for circus?
The way it influenced was there wasn't as much freedom because I had to, because there's a show and there are performers. So you don't, it's not about the music. So the first lesson to learn is the music is an element in a bigger context. So with Open House and all, and that whole journey, I had, you know, massive thoughts about, okay, we're out in the open. We've got an audience who are just wandering in when it's not a paying audience. The music has to be accessible. It has to be really accessible immediately. There's no time to have warm-ups or some kind of artistic license to spend a lot of time making something. It's just got to be catchy and to the point. And what I was really pleased about that development, because when we were doing the whole tent things, it was much more about, we have time, the audience have come and paid. So I was pleased. I would say I was happy with the way, I was happy with the ability to be able to see that, oh, this is a different type of product, this is a different type of show. Let's look at catchy melodies, let's look at 3-chord pieces instead of 25-chord pieces, which I was doing in the tent.
An interesting thing that Ron said was that one of the reasons he likes playing with the circus is because there's no particular style.
Mm-hmm.
So if you play with a ska band, you're playing ska all the time, and if you play with a punk band, you're playing. But with the circus, you can go through all of the musical genres to create
something.
That all matches together.
It's always going to be, in either case, it's responsive. It's responsive. It's responding to a situation. It's responding to a performer. It's responding to a director's will. So it can switch from genre to genre, depending. I don't know how it is in... I think that in the Open House, the music had a very important thing to do. It had to keep pushing. It had to somehow glue everything together, much more so than in the... It was much more apparent than in the tent. In the tent, it was doing exactly the same job. I think that I would argue that music is also circus, just as much as an act is circus. And I was always a bit, let's say, disappointed that none of the directors I've worked with gave room for that, to explore that. Which, if I say music is as much circus, it could be. We have a number, which is a short number, and it's someone singing, and that's it. And maybe they're just on a platform that's being raised, and that's it. I've seen other shows that do that.
Music in our circus has always accompanied the circus rather than being a feature of itself, hasn't it?
Yeah, and so there was a kind of fear of allowing music to become a feature of itself because it's so present the whole time. So it was like, we don't need to have it as a feature. Some of the scenes that was created were almost there, and they were framed by the physical framing, which if you get a really good saxophonist or a good guitarist or someone who's had an amazing solo. That's circus. They're performing. Why not put them up there and say, look at that guy, look at that woman?
Well, we did try a few times to string you up from your neck and slide you down the top of the tent with your accordion and things, didn't we?
Yeah, but that's different. That's me wanting to just be thrown around the circus, and that's not quite the same, you know. But
yeah, as I say, you did do several other things apart from just playing music, didn't you? So what else did you do with the circus, Peter?
Somersaults. Somersaults. Tried to be a clown, but I probably thought I was funnier than I was. In the early days of the tent stuff, there, I was still in the kind of, in the early days, it was very much music and performance.
So yeah, you were doing both, weren't you? You were a character that was a musician.
Yeah.
Right up to Psy Circus, even.
Yeah. And then after Psy Circus, it became really apparent that the amount of work involved in the music didn't allow to give as much attention to being a performer.
Well, you had a band to look after as well, and you were no longer alone. And I remember you saying, can I have four musicians? And me going, no, you can only have three.
Yeah.
And then we found one that would volunteer to do it for free as a volunteer.
That was it.
And then Alex, and then we had four musicians, and then it never changed again. It was now it's always got to be four musicians.
It's got to be four, yeah. But then we went to three again.
Yeah.
Which was actually really good, because if you're just three, you really have to work hard.
Well, I think we were able to go to three because you were so talented, Peter, actually. Mm-hmm. And this year, when we said to the two musicians that were left from the three for open house, let's create a new band, they were like, we're going to have two musicians more.
No.
Because it's going to take two people to replace Peter. There's no way we're going to find somebody. So we ended back with a band with four again. Because they just couldn't replace you with one person. You'll be pleased to know.
Oh, that's sweet. No, I remember that. I remember thinking when it went down to three, I almost said, shit, no, I really have to work hard. Because you have to fill, you know. You still got to fill the space. But I think we did it. You know, we really managed to fill as a trio.
Yeah, but it's almost like the music was always not incidental to the show, but you were always in the background. But the audience, so many times, comment as much or more about the music than about the show itself.
But that was always, I mean, that's always a bit misleading. They commented about it because of how it worked with the show. There were a number of occasions when we thought, oh, well, that's the music being incredible. But the music wasn't incredible without that relationship. The whole experience was what made them, you know, the music will give them the emotion, but the emotion then feeds what they see. So it's absolutely...
Yeah, a bombardment of senses from all directions. Bombardment of
senses completely. So, and if you achieve that and people are crying, then you know you've done a good job.
Well, I still listen. Personally, I still listen to the music that I've got on CD, the stuff that you've composed and recorded. So,
but there's also that thing of, when I've listened to other shows, it's sort of, I mean, what Ron was saying, you know, you can go into all sorts of genres. And I think what I like about circus or circus music is you can go into a genre, you can be really, really serious about something, but you should never... you should always be ready to break, lose face or break
with convention.
Well, not break with convention, but break with the here's a serious piece. We're playing a really serious piece, and it's really, really serious. But you should always allow yourself the opportunity to just, you know, be anarchic and go, it's serious, but I'm sticking my tongue out at you at the same time.
Yes, Peter, you were a master at that, weren't you?
You know, trip yourself up, you know.
But I remember on Open House, our audiences used to love it when you would just start improvising.
Lose the plot.
About the town that they were in, or the people that you'd seen, or the places that are in the place.
And I can imagine that quality was annoying for some directors, because I think it was annoying for some directors because they also have a vision and they want their vision to be presented. Sometimes the direction was duplicit. It would say, this is what you got to do. This is how it has to be. But I also want you to be enamored of what you do and break the rules. So we break the rules, but you can't tell someone how to break rules. Everyone breaks rules in their own way, you know.
Yeah.
And probably if I had been a swinging trapeze artist, I would have had an act and then decided I'm going to break the rules and done it in my knickers just because I'm bored.
Bye. I think we're going to finish there, Peter. But I'd just like to say that I think that your music's influenced our work as much as our work has influenced your music, and you've been a really important part of the No Fit State journey. And I personally would really like to say thank you, because I almost, like, I didn't know what to do when you said you got a job and, you know, I was going to have to do a show without you for the first time in at least...
ever.
Yeah. Almost. 15 years or... Yeah. 18 years or whatever it was, so a massive part of No Fit State Circus.
Yeah, I remember when I suddenly realised I wouldn't be able to do the next year. It took me about a month to tell you.
And it took me at least two to get over it.